Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a vital subject today, a subject that I believe that every listener needs to be aware of, that every listener needs to make plans and preparations for, and that is that place called heaven. May I ask you a very pointed question, a very serious personal question. Do you know for sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven? It's not a hope so. It's not maybe so. Well, I'll just have to wait and see. There are a lot of folks today that think that somehow, some way, you won't know if you're going to heaven until you die, and then whatever God's decided is already settled. You can't do anything about it. It's called predestination. It's called the so-called position of John Calvin, that God's already made the decision. You can't do it. Don't let anybody deceive you with that. You can make a decision, and the decision ought to be made while you're well and alive, because once death takes this body, once breath leaves this body, once the heart beats the last time, it is eternally too late. Dr. Phelps and I are talking about that place called heaven and how you get to heaven, how you know you're going to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to jump in and ask a question related to heaven or hell, or how you get to heaven, how you know you're going to heaven, or what you need to do perhaps today to be assured that you're going to heaven, dial 831-0917. 831-0917. Dr. Phelps, you had just turned to Revelation 21, and we're going to read a few verses there. Read some of those verses and talk with us about that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the best chapter in all the Bible, and there are a lot of verses throughout the Scripture dealing with heaven and that place called heaven. But the classic text in all the Bible that gives you the character, the characteristics, gives you the picture, the description, the dimensions of heaven is found in Revelation chapter 21. A wonderful, wonderful study. And I encourage you to study that text, but Dr. Phelps is going to share with us some thoughts from Revelation 21 right now.
I'm reading the Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so I began to say a moment or so ago that heaven is my final destination. I choose to make heaven my final destination, and each of us must do the same. It's a part of God's new creation, and only those who have experienced the new birth then will enter. It's a prepared place for the people of God.
Yes.
Heaven is prepared for the redeemed. I read the passage in John 14 earlier. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I believe he was speaking about our home in heaven. And we must keep this in mind. It's for the redeemed. But hell is prepared for the rebels. Matthew 25:41 is a passage we read earlier. A place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the unbelieving will follow them there. Those who are lost, the unsaved, then will follow Satan and his angels, and they'll have a common destination. Bible says in John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, and he'll suffer the wrath of God in a place called hell.
That's one of the good statements here, Dr. Phelps, as far as that verse is concerned by our previous caller about the person that is in hell for eternity, and understand his dilemma of even trying to picture that in one's mind about the anguish and the suffering that never, ever, ever ends. But then, as you made that statement, it is literally a prepared place for prepared people. And those that are not prepared for heaven, they're rebelling against God, rebelling against God's word, and they end up in hell by their own decision, volitional choice, not to say yes to Jesus.
Yes, heaven is a place of perpetual joy. According to verses 3 and 4, we find that God will dwell with us. We'll be in his presence, and that we will experience then perpetual joy. It's a comfort for God's people to know that all tears will forever be wiped away. And it's a consolation that we have. God has promised there's no more death, for he has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's found in 2 Timothy 1:10. There's no more sorrow, for we'll enter the joy of the Lord. No more crying, for all will be well in glory. No more pain, for our body will be fashioned like his glorious body in resurrection. No more curse, for the presence of the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it.
I find it fascinating, too, Dr. Phelps, when you read Revelation chapter 21, I believe it is, and about verse 23. And the city had no need for the sun, that's the S-U-N, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, that's speaking of Jesus, is the light thereof. Yes. Jesus is the light of the world,
Amen.
And it's a fascinating thing. He's the light of all of heaven.
Yes. J-E-A will not be needed.
That's right.
Heaven is my final destination. It was planned from eternity, according to verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. What God had in mind was from eternity past. It was prepared for the heirs of salvation.
Yes.
It's promised to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who experience being born again. And it's promised by him who is true, the one who is true, the true and the living God, and the one who is the God of truth. And I'm thinking that the one that we're thinking about is our impeccable Savior, whose name is called the Word of God. Hebrews 7:26 tells us that he is a holy one without sin. He is true. He has never, never, ever sinned. He is pure, and he is holy. And the impeccable scriptures also, written word of God, testifies of the living word of God, the living one, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is pictured in the holy scriptures. One of the things that we find that is happening in many cases with people, they don't allow the scriptures to give us the truth about heaven. We have the inspired version that's reliable. God's way of revealing his truth about heaven is by the inspiration of the Word of God. But the imagined versions may be unreliable. If you have one of the New Age versions today, many things that you find there are imagined words, not inspired
That's right.
words. And imagination is contrary to faith, for it doesn't rely upon the spirit of truth or upon the word of truth to enlighten us. And you go back to the book of Jeremiah, you find that God spoke to the people of Israel, telling them not to listen to these false teachers who are speaking from their own minds, from dreams and visions, but not from God's word. They were not telling forth the truth of the word of God.
And the sad thing is, Dr. Phelps, we have a lot of that kind of preaching and teaching today. It is not from the word of God, not founded in the word of God. And it's just a philosophical rhetoric of something that sounds religious and sounds godly. But I think, Dr. Phelps, that's the reason a lot of our folks, perhaps even our listeners today, are confused about things like heaven and hell, confused about the eternality of it, confused about the reality of it, confused about how you know that you're going to heaven, how you know for sure that you're not going to hell. And I believe that we have a lot of folks today, a ton of people, as I call it, if I can use that word, a ton of people that believe that they're going to heaven because they are good people, good husband, good wife, good son, good daughter. And I use the term kind of in a pun fashion. The husband that doesn't kick the dog, cuss the wife, and beat the kids thinks somehow, some way, he's going to heaven. The one that pays his bills and has a good, clean life, that person thinks that I'm going to heaven because of this. But Dr. Phelps, we'll talk about it in a minute, but those things won't get a person to heaven. It takes something far more than just a good life and good living. Finish your thought on what you're saying about the imagination in the scripture.
One of the contemporary songs we hear today is entitled, I Can Only Imagine. And they're singing about a place they call or they think is heaven. But I believe it's a denial of the truth of the Bible. It denies the truth that you find in the scriptures. You see, in the word imagination, you have image in the spelling of that word. And it can be associated with idols. And again, the book of Jeremiah chapter 16, God refutes those who spoke then words that lead people to idolatry. But heaven is beyond imagination, for it's made known in God's revelation, the word of God. Why imagine when you can know by the inspired word of God?
Absolutely. That's what I'm wanting to encourage people to do today, Dr. Phelps, is to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven.
Yes. The Holy Spirit of God, who gave us the words of the Revelation 21, is the master of the English language. He has given us words to picture in your mind what heaven is like. I say that because of heaven, because of the knowledge that we need to know about who God is. You'll find the answers in the scripture. You'll find words to picture in your mind what God is like as well.
That's right.
What heaven is like. And as we know the truth, then we can know. I spell that word K-N-O-W. We are assured that God wants us to know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, we find that here in the Revelation 21, verse 7, it's promised to those who overcome. We find that mention of word overcome quite often in the scriptures, in the Revelation, but also in 1 John chapter 5. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So it's the heritage of believers, and it belongs to the household of faith. This place called heaven is pure and undefiled. According to verse 8, unbelieving and unrepentant people will not enter. Listen to that again. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But upright Christians will enter heaven. And I'm so glad to know that God gives us hope. It says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
It's a place that is pure and undefiled. Now, how can I be eligible for heaven? Only the upright citizens or the righteous people will ever enter into heaven.
That's right.
How can I be eligible? Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he that believes in me, and in what we read in the Word of God, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Yes.
That implies a new birth.
New birth, a change of heart, change of mind. Dr. Phelps, I believe that based on what we see in society today, there's some people, because of the way they're living and what they're doing, there's some people that may not like heaven. Some people that may not look forward to heaven. Some people that may not want to go to heaven. Tell us something about who is it? Who in the world would not like heaven?
Well, heaven may be a disappointment to many people. The more you learn about the place called heaven, the more you may have disappointment because there are no casinos. They've always taken a weekend trip to Las Vegas. I know such an acquaintance as that.
Mm-hmm.
They are always in a game of cards. See, gambling cards were invented to mock the Trinity, by the way. And they're attracted to the God of chance. And that's the gambler. Heaven is a place of rejoicing for the redemption in Christ. So perhaps the gambler would not be happy there. There's no MTV. They've always spent time watching R and X-rated television shows. They're entertained by the things of the fun god. See, that's the sensual person. Heaven is the place of the joy of salvation.
Yes.
And another thing, there's no Bud Light there. They've always gone to the refrigerator for a cold beer. They're addicted to the spirits in a bottle. That's the drunkard. Heaven is a place of the pure river of water of life.
Dr. Phelps, you mentioned a Bud Light. I always called it Miller Low Life and Bud Dumber. There's a lot of folks that rather have that than a place called heaven.
heaven, in heaven, there will be no Marlboro or Camel.
That's right.
They've always lit up a cigarette or cigar. They serve the god of addiction. That's the smoker. You could add some other things to that, bad habits. But heaven is a place of health and life eternal. Heaven is not a place of astrology. They've always read the astrology section of the newspaper. They rely upon the mythical gods of the heathen, and that's the superstitious. Heaven is a place to honor the only true God. In heaven, there's no perversion. They've always lived their lives as they please. They've lived after the flesh and become allured by the mystical gods. That's the perverse. Heaven is a place of purity and righteousness. There's also in heaven no rock music.
That's right.
They've always joined the crowd who listen to rotten lyrics. They worship at the shrine of rock stars. That's talking about the rock music fan. Heaven is a place where there's no violence. They've always been attracted to violent movies and television. And this would include the terrorist and those who love violence. Well, they'll not gain entrance to heaven. That's the terrorist today. Heaven is the only safe place. And remember this, only changed people are eligible for heaven.
Absolutely. That's the reason I've said so many years, that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And you find that theological persuasion in John the 14th chapter. Dr. Phelps, when a person dies, will he or she go immediately to heaven? Or is there a holding place or a waiting place or a delay? The question that I've had asked so many times, and I've had the privilege of being involved in the memorial services for many, many, many people down through the years, and in dealing with the families of the one that is passed on, there's always the question, well, where are they? The decision is made not where are they from our perspective, but where are they based on their decision. of saying yes to Jesus or some no. But the question that so many people may be asking because of some wrong theology that's been taught down through the years, and that question is, when a person dies, where do they immediately go if they're saved?
The scriptures always have an answer.
Yes.
So we turn to the scriptures. That's where you'll find the answer to that question. The Apostle Paul was expecting that he would soon pass away, that he would be going on to heaven. And here's how he talks about that. He says in 2 Corinthians 5 that our body is his earthly tabernacle. The word tabernacle is like a word temple. And throughout the scriptures, that's how God tells us about our body, our temple. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's talking about death there, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, that is in this body, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, and mortality might be swallowed up in life. So verse 6, he says, therefore, we're always confident, knowing this, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you need to check that out. Paul says in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so he says, when in essence then, when a Christian dies, he goes to be with the Lord.
Immediately translated to be with the Lord, transferred to our new home, and that home is that place called heaven. Dr. Phelps, you touched on it a little earlier, but in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, let me just share with our listeners about that. There's no more death after we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We go to that place called heaven. In that place called heaven, ladies and gentlemen, there's no more death. There's no more dying. There's no more crying. There's no more suffering. There's no more pain. In fact, Dr. Phelps, in heaven, there are no more locked doors. You find no more police departments. You find no more funeral homes. You find no more hospitals or hospice. You find only the joy of that place called heaven. I've enjoyed, Dr. Phelps, down through the years, the study, the preparation, and the proclamation of that place called heaven in Revelation chapter 21. And in looking at Revelation chapter 21, let me just share this with our people, and then I'll get you to wrap up our broadcast time together. But when you look at the Revelation text in Revelation chapter 21, it gives us the dimensions of heaven.
Yeah.
The dimensions. Let me just share with our listeners something about those dimensions. It's 1,500 cubed miles. The walls are 216 feet high. It's 15,000 times the size of London. It's 20,000 times the size of New Zealand. It's 10 times the size of Germany. It's 40 times the size of England. It has, heaven has, 2,250,000 square miles, which calculates out to 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. Now, with all of that said, heaven sounds huge. But when you look at the size of heaven, and then you analyze the number of people in the world today that think, Dr. Phelps, that think that they're going to heaven, the number of people in the world today that think that they're going to heaven will not fit into that place called heaven. Either there are a lot of folks that are lost that think they're going to heaven, or if they're in fact going to heaven, God's going to have to send a remodeling crew to tear down, rebuild, and extend the size of heaven. And I don't think he's going to do that. So I think the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, you need to ascertain, make the decision, are you going to heaven? Heaven is that final destination. Dr. Phelps, share with our people, our listeners today, what is needed? How can they prepare? What is needed to prepare to know that they're going to heaven?
My first answer is come to Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Savior today. Don't try to prepare yourself for heaven. Let him prepare you and give you his life of everlasting life. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins at the cross and rose again from the dead, and you will in your heart come to him and pray something like this: Lord, thank you for taking my punishment for my sins. I know that I could never be fit for heaven without you. So I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And I'm so thankful that I can answer the question, do good people go to heaven? Perhaps they could if there were any good enough.
That's right.
We must admit that we are sinners and that we need a Savior.
Exactly right. And Dr. Phelps, share with us very briefly 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does that say in relationship to what we're talking about today?
The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
All things have become new. And Dr. Phelps, just very briefly, we've got about a minute and a half left. Share with us the seven new things. Seven new things in heaven.
Yes, in the Revelation 21, there are seven new things. A new heaven, and that's a breathtaking place, a celestial place, more glorious than any scenic earthly place you can ever go. There's a new earth, that's a better place. A new city, a beautiful place. A new temple, a blessed place. A new light, it's a brilliant place. A new paradise, and it's a bountiful place. And there will be new people. Only new people will enter. A born-again people. The Bible talks about it's necessary that we be born again, and we're not eligible unless we are. We're a blood-bought people. We're a blessed people, a believing people.
As I share with people, Dr. Phelps, so often, that we need to be recognized that we're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. If you have, heaven is your home. We need to look forward to that blessed hope of one day being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time and on the air as once again we face the issue.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.